severe. I had a Morris, I think, from Doncaster, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, he cannot make it today. Yeah, so Roger had a problem because of that. And so what did he do with that problem? He passed it on to me. So what can you do? So thank you very much, Roger. Anyway, we all have problems, don't we? And the problem is something that has got to be solved. And before you can solve any problem, the first thing that you must do is know what that problem is. So I'm going to take something very simple, like this remote control here. And what happens if it doesn't work? We have a problem. So what do we do to solve that problem? We just simply take the back off, put in a couple more batteries, and whoop, away we go. So problem solved, isn't it? Quite easily. But there are problems we cannot solve. Problems that are out of our control. And these become very difficult in our lives, don't they? So maybe we have a situation like we have a burst water main. And that is a big problem. So we have to solve it. Richard Iredale, he's the man, he'll do it for us. Yeah. Then we have another problem. Oh, we've a gas leak. How do we solve that problem? We have to ring the gas board, of course. In other words, they are specialists. They are specialists in repairing things that they know a lot of things about. And this is life, isn't it? We have problems that are easy to solve and problems that are very difficult. And especially in our own family lives. Think of the problems that can arise, maybe marriage counselling even. It could be personal problems that we have, known only to ourselves and no one else. It may be a family problem regarding our children and their children. It could be a relationship with someone else. These are commonplace in this day and age that we live, and we can have them. These are all conflicting situations, and they are very difficult to solve. And so we could ask ourselves a question, couldn't we? If only we had a trouble-free world, a world where nothing would go wrong, a world that had no problems, that world where everything would be as we like it. Unfortunately, I am sorry to say that that is not possible. I'm sorry to say that is just but a dream. And it is not the real world in which we live. But having said that, it could be. Because God says in His Word, the Bible, He says that there is going to be a time when the world will be like that. But until God intervenes with our lives and with the environment in which we live, then we have to live the life we are living. And Jesus clearly tells us in the Bible, the life we live has got many problems in it. Jesus doesn't say our life is going to be free of problems. In fact, John tells us that our life is quite the contrary. These things have I spoken unto you, he says, that you may have peace in me, but in the world you will have tribulations. You will have troubles. You will have pressures. You will have difficulties. You will have problems. God tells us this. I don't read newspapers. Full of propaganda. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking to see if I can find if there are any problems anywhere else on this universe. Pluto. No, no problems there. Mars. No problems there. Venus. No problems there. That got me thinking. I thought to myself, why is that? And then it came to me all of a sudden. Do anybody know why? Feel free to say if you do, but you know what the simple answer is? Because no one lives there. That's why there's no problems. In fact, I guarantee I could fill a spaceship with hundreds of people, shoot them off to Mars, and I'll guarantee within 2 hours there will be problems. There will. And this brought me thinking back again to the Bible. Wherever there is people, there is problems. Why? Because the Bible clearly tells us the heart of man is exceedingly wicked. And Jeremiah tells us, these are his words, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the first thing we need to know then, if we read and believe in the Bible, is that human beings create all the problems that we are faced with today. And in doing so, therefore, we need that help to overcome them. So how do we describe it? Well, I'm sure I'm going to describe it. I'm going to do something now I've never ever done on this platform. Wow. That wasn't meant to happen. Please, can I have my balloon back? Ah, it is hard work, is that? Darren, would you do me a favour, please? Would you like to blow this balloon up for me? Nice and tight, not too soft, nice and tight, and then please tie it in a nice knot. Don't
they
burst
went.
It.
They went.
Don't burst it.
It's not easy when you're watching. You've still got problems, I can't do it. It should be.
Come on, Darren, time's going on.
It's just a small problem, I'll solve it in a minute.
Got it.
There we go.
Round of
applause, please.
Yeah. I don't know if you can read on that, but the writing has gone a little bit faint. It says on there the pressure of life, because that's why I've used the balloon. Because you can put pressure on all sides of the balloon, wherever it is, whatever position in life, there's always pressure on all sides of the balloon. And if the pressure is too great on one side of the balloon, then obviously this balloon will burst, won't it? And this is a reflection of our lives. We have real problems in life. Problems that surround our life, wherever we go, whatever we do. They come at us from all angles. And unfortunately, this is life, isn't it? You know, and the problem is, if we cannot contain those pressures in life, then what happens? The balloon will burst. And that's our lives, isn't it? You know, the pressures are there. We cannot hide from them. Listen to what the Paul says. We are troubled on every side and perplexed. But he also goes on to say that if we trust in God, then we do not have to be depressed, we do not have to be in despair, because the Bible tells us, regarding the problems of life, that they can help. We mustn't forget, though, never once does he say he will take those problems away and we will be void of them. But he tells us we can get help when needed. Psalm 34 tells us quite clearly, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Bible is quite clearly, isn't it, in what it says, tells us there is help there. If you let me know about them. Psalm, once again in Psalms, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks of me, because you are my help and my deliverer. If you are studying at the college and you have a mathematical problem, then what do? You go to the teacher who knows about maths. If your eyes are going dim and you cannot see very well, then I suggest you will go to the opticians. I'm sure you will. And in a similar situation, if you have toothache, then I'm sure you will go pay a visit to the dentist. 99% of our problems in life are caused by man's humanity to man. So, if we have a problem regarding our own lives, we ask the question, who do we turn to for the answer? We know where to go if our eyes are dim, or if we can't know about mass, we know that. So, talking about life, who do we go to? We have to turn to someone. Do we look at our computers? Can we look at our computers and tell us all about our human bodies and life, and that we must have discipline in our lives, and we must have models in our lives, and we must show respect to other people? Do we switch on our computers and gives us information about the fellowship that we can have by turning to God's Word? Does it tell us about our problems and how God will solve them? Yes, technology is an amazing thing, and don't get me wrong, it is brilliant, but it doesn't tell us what God tells us, and it doesn't know all about life, because it was God who created us in the first place. And so, if we want to solve a problem about human life, then we have to go to the one who knows about our lives. We have to do, haven't we? Because the problem is, if we don't turn to God, if we don't look at our lives, and we know they're not working properly, then we know it's our fault. We have caused that problem. And why? Because if we do not have God in our lives, then what will happen is the fact that it will breed contempt. We will have selfishness. We will have disrespect for other people. We'll be unthoughtful towards other people. And this involved will bring heartache and sorrow and the problems that we have, all because we have forgotten to go to God. And that's why and how God can help us in all our problems, because we can go to Him and put into practice and know what He said is true. The Holy Bible has the answer. Jesus tells us, God told us in the beginning in His Word that He created man and He gave him a free will of His own. And he had the opportunity, he could either live a good and happy life, pleasing God, and have everything he could ever wanted, or he could have the alternative. And what happened was, Adam chose the alternative. And because he chose the alternative, then he inherited the sin that we have all inherited. And we all sin, and we all fall short of God's Word. And we all have the problems, purely because of Adam. And along with our children's 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 children, we still experience today the problems that we bring upon ourselves. And make no mistake about it, those problems are very real. Very real. And I'm sure a lot of us have those problems in our lives. Some problems that people don't know about, but we do have them, and they do affect us. We have juvenile delinquency, don't we, in the world we live in. Theft and crime is growing at an alarming rate. Drug and alcohol abuse is up, well on its way up. And more people are afraid of walking the streets this day and age than whatever they used to be. Depression is at its highest level than it's ever been before. There are more broken homes in England today than there ever has been. In fact, it's now at 58%. Suicides are more common than they have ever been. We say to ourselves, what can we do about it? Can we do anything about the problems of life? I don't think we can. And I'm sure it's not because we do not care, because we all care. And we all want to help these people if we can. But the problem is we are in an environment where we just cannot help them. And we cannot do anything about these problems, and they will always be there. And why do we have these problems? And it's all not because we don't care, but purely I think it's because we have people have turned away from the principalities of God. And therefore, because they have no principles in life, then they have many, many problems in life. And it is when in such circumstances as these that we should be pleased to know that there is someone who cares and someone who understands the way we live and the way we work and sees our situation, and he will help in any situation. And that person is God. The Lord, Psalms again, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for the Lord will not forsake those who seek him. If you don't seek him, you will end up with problems. It was during a summer period a few years ago that I was reading an article regarding people's reactions to people's problems and the environment in which they lived and the things that surround us in everyday life. And one of the particular stories I read really stood out to me. And so I wrote that story down. And when I read it, it made me realise that there are people out there that realise they do need help. And there are people out there in this world we live that they are prepared to make a change in their lives and alter the lifestyle in order to overcome the particular problem that they have at that time. That's a true story, and I'm going to read that story to you now. And it's about a young man who related his experience that he faced pertaining to the life that he lived at that particular time and the problems that he had. This man was in his mid-30s, so he was quite young. He was married with children. He had a decent job, a good job actually, and he was provided with a very, very nice car. But having said all that, as well as he lived in a beautiful house, it did not bring him the peace of mind which he wanted. And what happened in his life was he had an uneventful relationship with his wife, he found this out. He also realised that his children were very disruptive in his life. He also realised that his bills were getting far behind and his credit card was up at the limit. And he also realised that things couldn't go on any longer with the situation, everything put together. In fact, it built up to an enormous amount of pressure on all sides of him. Remember the balloon? And that's what can happen. But before the balloon burst, he realised his problems. And he realised and acknowledged his position. And in doing so, he said, "I could see the light at the end of the tunnel." And he didn't have a torch to use. No, he says, "What I did," he says, "I turned to the Bible." And that's what he did. He realised, he said, "The only hope in life is to remember God." And so what he did, he wrote his feelings and put them pen to paper. And I'm going to read what he wrote down. This is what he wrote. I thank you, God, for directing my path. For I know my life has not been lived according to your will. Every day I struggle to find peace. But I have found peace in Jesus. And I feel that by spreading the word and helping to teach others, I am also helping myself to grow stronger in faith. God is all-knowing, and we cannot hide from our sins, and we know we have problems. But by acknowledging them, we can be sure that God is merciful and He is willing to forgive. And so when you become a believer through the waters of baptism, then He will welcome you with open arms. And He will wipe away your sin. And He will guide you along your journey that will give you hope and help you to have a brighter future. And at the end of it all, He will give you eternal life in His kingdom. I have strayed from the path. I have walked alone. I am shamefully, I have disobeyed. But also I have realized that my life is not to be lived alone. Because I need you in my life. I pray for the guidance that you can give, because I know I cannot do it alone. I need you to love me in my life. And he finishes it by saying, thank you for being my guide. If you care about God, then God will care about you. God is designed in a specific way, and there is a right and wrong way of using these precious lives of ours. Give you a bit of an illustration again. This is Sue's iPad. On her knee over there, she's got a mini iPad. This is Sue's iPhone. Oh, this is my smartphone. Well, and they are complicated things to use, aren't they? Of course they are. And if you have a problem with them, it's even worse. It's so difficult, aren't they? I got my new car. Well, it's more complicated than the jumbo jet. And imagine when things go wrong with these things. It's mind-boggling. But I do have a saviour. Because I can go onto the internet and I can download all the instructions I need for whatever it is that's gone wrong. Well, that's good, isn't it? Yeah. But if you happen to press the wrong digit or press something else that you shouldn't, then you get one instruction that pertains to a different model altogether, and wow, that's even more confusing. And so whatever it is, whether it's a Sony, whether it's a Nokia, whether it's an Apple, or whether it's a new car, whatever, it made me think that if I have the wrong instructions for that wrong particular item, now I'm going to be worse off than I ever was before. Very confusing. So what I thought was, well, it must mean something that. And you soon begin to realise that you must have the correct instructions for the right product, else things will not work. It's simple as that. And you know this principle applies to human life. It's exactly the same. We are designed to function in a certain way, just like these pieces of equipment. Yeah, we are. And if we want to know about how we function and how we work, And when that shows in our life, then we need the right instructions. Of course we do. And where are those instructions? They are here, in God's holy word. Why? Because he is a manufacturer that made us. Of course he is. Those are clearly there, and people can ignore them if they want. And if you ignore those instructions and how we should live and how we should react in our lives, then don't be surprised that you'll get unnecessary problems in your life. And things don't always work out as they should. Why? Because you ignore God's instructions and he's going to ignore you. Simple as that. I've told you one story, I'm going to tell you another now. In fact, you've already heard this one. It's Darren told it to you. Yeah? And you know, this story involves a loving family couple. Yeah? And they had two sons, yeah, very nice sons. They were quite well off. Yeah? Quite well off. And they were good and they were healthy. And they lived a good moral life. Yeah, and they believed in God. Yeah, and quite well off. And one day, much to the surprise of their parents, the youngest son said, "Look, you know, I've had enough of working here now. I want to go off and enjoy myself a little bit." And his parents weren't very happy, of course. I'm sure none of us would be. If our children did the same. But he wanted a part of the company, part of his share, as you might say, a third each. And so eventually he took all his money and said, right, and he was going off to please himself, as you might say. Yes. And like many of us today would do exactly the same. People leave home, they travel around the world, don't they? They have time out from university, do their own thing. They do it. And what do the parents do? They're at home wondering, wonder where they are. Will they be okay? Are they in any problems? Will they need help? This is life. Where is he? I wonder what he's doing. Is he in good health? Is he being looked after? Does anybody care about him? If you do not know that situation, you cannot help. You can't. And unknown to his parents, this particular son, he had turned away from God. He'd forgotten about his morals, forgotten about his upbringing, and he just went to enjoy himself. What he did, he squandered, even the money he had, he's even squandered that on riotous living. What did that mean? Women, drugs, alcohol. He became a vagrant, a down and out. It's what it would be today. Nowhere to live, no food, nothing to eat, no friends. Wow, this man had problems. It's weird, isn't it, how human beings, when they get to the rock bottom, that seems to be when they only recognise that they need help. Everything's going their way, they don't think they do. Is there anybody out there? Does anybody care? Will anybody help me? Maybe it's nature's way of us bringing this to our senses. But through our own foolishness, we end up in such situations, and this man, through his own foolishness, ended up in the same situation. And there is an old saying which we use today, isn't there? Well, you got yourself into this mess, then you'll get yourself out. And it's a true saying to many a cause when we think about it. But in the simplest way, what it means is, look, stop, think. Take stock of yourself. Think what you're doing. Why are you doing it? Is this the right way? Acknowledge your position in life and do something about it. And this man did. And what he did, he said, yes, I do need help. I'm going back home. And so he went back home to his father. And what happened? His father embraced him with open arms. What a wonderful and an amazing example of how that if you acknowledge your position in life, you can always go and find help. And where is the love and care that God can give to those who walk in his ways? God is out there in this vast world which we live in, and his arms are outstretched just like we can do with our own children. And he is waiting there for people to embrace him that have the troubles of life. It was Jesus who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your burden upon me, for my burden is easy and light, and I will make yours easier and light also." The story goes that a woman poured out all her troubles and all her tragedies in life to her very closest friend. And the friend replied, saying, "I do not know how you could go through all that." And she immediately turned around and said, "I didn't, God did." To see and understand the strength that God can give, then you have to experience the problems in life. And the strain and the stress which life can bring. We are all in the same boat. No one is exempt. And you know what the difference is not in the problems that we have, but in how we react to those problems. You see, some may have the problems and the trials, and they may turn round and curse God for giving him those problems. Another may eat his heart out in resentment and say, "Why me?" And yet another can praise and thank God for the help and the care that he has given him to overcome those problems. Lonely and sad, down and depressed, then choose a way out that you can deeply express. By turning to God, you look in his face, fall in his arms and accept his embrace. For no more is your heart broken in two, for God seeks to bring a rich harvest in you. For somebody loves you more than you know and will always be with you wherever you go. Thank you for being here. May God be with you.